Psalm 27, and that's page 503 in your pew Bible. The Triumphant Song of Confidence of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When any evil rivers assail me, to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock.
Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices for shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek.
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah, chapter 60. Verses 19 to 22, and that's page 691. God, the glory of Zion. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you by night. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, or your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. They are the shoot that I planted, the work of my hands, so that I might be glorified. The least of them shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time I will accomplish it. The Gospel reading is from John, chapter 8, verses 12 to 20, on page 101 in the New Testament. Jesus, the light of the Lord, the light of the world. I looked at Elaine and lost my focus. Beautiful this morning. Jesus, the light of the world. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple. But no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Howard. When have you found it most helpful to use light? When the house is dark, we turn on the light. When we wake up in the morning or in the night, usually in the night, a nightlight might lead our steps to the bathroom so that we can find our way while our vision is not quite all there. If we wake up in the night in pain, turning on a light gives us comfort. When you walk from house to house on Halloween night, a flashlight might help to light your way. When dusk comes and then the night, driving on a non-lit road, headlights of our vehicles help us to see. And in Malawi, where there are no lights, and there's lots of power outages as well, people walking home are often hit on the roads and left to die because there is no light and no one knows that they've been injured. And we all appreciate it when the lights come on after a power outage. Have you ever tried to remove a sliver from your finger without light? Have you found it easy to go camping without a flashlight or a roaring fire? How easy would that be? When we enter a room for a meeting, we turn on the lights. When we come into church, we turn on the lights. I would challenge you for one day to live without light. To not have a single light to live by. In verse 12 of John chapter 8, we read, after Jesus spoke to them, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am is God's covenant name. The title was so sacred that it was only allowed to be uttered by the high priest, and then only once a year on the Day of Atonement. It literally means, I am the I am. And in effect, when Jesus said, I am living water, I am bread of life, I am light of the world, he was stating emphatically his deity. He was stating that he was God. It's rather a staggering statement. And just as the bush burning brightly and casting light around those who came to it when Moses was there, Jesus is the light of the world and a consuming fire that should stop us in our tracks when we think about the holy ground that we stand on in his presence. When Jesus used the phrase, I am, he did so with a purpose. And those who were with him that were religious leaders knew what he was saying. So you can imagine if you were a Pharisee or a member of the Sanhedrin, that here is this poor man who grew up in a poor family in Nazareth, blue-collar worker, carpenter, walking the dusty roads and telling people that he is the I am. In fact, in this chapter alone, the Pharisees interrupted Jesus 8 times. because they were growing more and more angry with what he was saying. They took offense to his outrageous utterances. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus was not saying he is holding the light, or that he has the light, or that he's the way to the light. Instead, he says, I am the light of the world. So let's look at some of the properties of light. First of all, light reveals. Light enables us to see things that are along the way, but because of darkness, we can't see them. Darkness conceals, light reveals. Without light, we can't see anything. And just as C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not only because I see it, but because by it, all things are seen. By the way, that's why some people don't come to church. They don't really want Christ to shine his light on the way they've been living. Secondly, light gives life. Light is necessary for life itself. It sets our biological clocks. It triggers our brain into the sensations of color and supplies the energy for things to grow. I know that some of you have heard of SAD, seasonal affective disorder, and I see a number of people in my practice that are affected in the winter time by the lack of light. And one of the treatments that we give to that is ultraviolet light, where we have them sit for a certain number of hours each day and just allow the ultraviolet rays to shine on their faces. And that in and of itself can cure them of the feelings of sadness or depression that they have. And over time, we see a dramatic change in their ability to cope with life. Interestingly, only 1% of people living in Florida have SAD, whereas 10% of people living in Alaska struggle with it. So we know worldwide that it is an issue. And so we know that light is important. And when we come to light the Christ candle each Sunday, and I read the words, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, we're reaffirming the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And this is one of the greatest gifts that we have as we light the Christ candle, is to recognize each Sunday the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. And while some of us struggle with seasonal affective disorder, all of us from time to time struggle with sin affective disorder, which is indeed sad, but we should be glad because the light of Jesus frees us from all of our sins. Did you catch that one, Bob? Just checking. I can tease him because he'll tell me after church about what he thinks. And he always says good things. Number three, light scatters darkness. In Scripture, darkness is often a metaphor for sin, for spiritual blindness, or for death. And in John 1, verse 5, we read, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I can remember being in Walt Disney World, and one of the rides that we used to go on when we were young was the Haunted House. How many of you have been to the Haunted House at Walt Disney World? Okay. And that place gave me the willies, we call it. It was scary. I never liked going in there. You'd walk in and they have this elevator mechanism that would draw you down, and the mirror would get longer and longer and longer, and there would be all these creepy voices. And I can remember being terrified to go into the Haunted House. So I was kind of shy, if you can imagine, when I was little. No, I know we can't imagine that, but I was. And I would just curl up close to whoever I was with, and I would just cover my ears, and I'd hope I could just get through the ride. Well, one day we were there, and something happened. All of a sudden, the ride stopped in the middle of going through the haunted house. There was a voice that came on and said, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but we've had to stop the ride. We're going to be turning the lights on, and we ask you to stay seated where you are and not move and not touch anything. And all of a sudden, the lights came on, shatters the darkness, and it makes us not afraid. Fourthly, light gives warmth. Do you know that one small candle, properly reflected, will raise the temperature of an igloo from below freezing to over 45 degrees Fahrenheit? In the Bible, warmth is often equated with the comfort of God, and from God is light. Number five, light provides guidance. It's difficult to walk in the dark. Light helps us to see where we're headed. What do we learn about light from Scripture? Because Scripture provides guidance to us. And there's lots and lots of scriptures that I could have used. I'm going to just use a few of them, just to give us some encouragement about light. Those who heard Jesus declare that he was the light of the world would have had some of these passages running through their mind. From Genesis, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. The first thing that God did in creation was to dispel the darkness of the world with light. And after God appeared to Moses, he revealed his name as the I Am. He did this amazing thing. He turned the lights out on the Egyptians, literally, in Exodus 10 when we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand towards the heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived." After illuminating the Israelites with an unforgettable display of luminary brightness, God then promised to lead the people for 40 years through bright light at night and a smoky cloud during the day. They never had to be afraid of the dark because the Shekinah fire of God's holy presence was always with them. They didn't need any night lights because the lights were always on. And in Isaiah 60, as Marilyn read to us this morning, we hear these words as a prophecy of what God is regarding light. "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor the brightness shall the moon give light to you by night, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." And when Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world, he was affirming his deity. God's first act was to create light, and his final crescendo will be to splash with light at his work of redemption as it culminates. And here in Revelation 21, "And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." So what does this mean for us? What does this really mean for us here in this place? What does God, Jesus' declaration, "I am the light of the world," mean for you and for me? Well, I think that one thing that it does is it shows us that repetition is important to Jesus. Because Jesus didn't declare this once. He declared it over and over again to make sure that we get it, that he is the I Am, and that there are amazing opportunities over and over again for us to get the truth. And twice in this chapter, Jesus tells the Pharisees that they will die in their sins, because again, he wants to reiterate to them, you need to find the light, and I am the light of the world. Secondly, perhaps you're not sure if Jesus really is who he is. When Jesus said, "I am the light," he is claiming to be both God and Savior. And it's been interesting in our Bible study, and even this week, we talked about, what do people consider Jesus Christ to be? Who is he? I mean, if you were to stand here and say to you, "Who do you say that I am?" as we talked about last week, what would people respond? What would you respond with? A good teacher, a wise man, a religious figure, a saint, a good person, or as we mentioned, a Bible study, a swear word. But what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And we ended the study with this question. If Jesus were to walk into your home or into your kitchen and sit down at the table and eat with you and ask you, who do you say that I am? How would you respond? Redemption. Next. What comes next after the words that Jesus said, I am the light of the world, is this word, whoever. Jesus came for whoever. This word only occurs 15 times in the three Gospels, but 77 times in the book of John. Whoever. Because it was important for all of us to know that Jesus has come for the whole world. He's come for whoever. It doesn't define who he comes for. It isn't a set number who he comes for. He comes for whoever. And we must not lose the focus that Jesus had in being the light, the I am, for whoever in the entire world. Anyone can come to him. He died for everyone. No matter what you've done, you are forgiven. And in John 12, we read, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Part of the message for us from this phrase is also a response. Salvation is not automatic. It doesn't work by osmosis just because we go to church. It's for whoever follows. To follow the Lord Jesus means to believe and receive, or literally, to follow together along the way. So my question to you is, are you following daily? Fifthly, this statement requires a response. Once you decide and respond to follow Christ, we then walk not in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it literally reads, he shall surely not walk in darkness. Darkness here is a metaphor for disaster, death, destruction, along with sin and its consequences. But do you see this word have? You will have the gift of light. We don't just get to see the light. We can have the light. We can live in light or despair in darkness. We have the right to have the light. And we don't earn it. A boy once heard his Sunday school teacher saying that Jesus was the light of the world. After class, he went up to his teacher and asked, if Jesus really is the light of the world, I wish he'd come and hang out at my house. It's awfully dark where I live. Is it dark where you live? You can change that by embracing the light of life. Next is this concept of light reflecting. And one of our purposes as his followers on earth is to shine his light in the darkness of the world. In Matthew 5, we read, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So here are some ways that we can shine and reflect the light to others. Number one, ask yourself, am I covering up my light? Are you doing something that decreases or dims the light of Christ in your life? Because really, the whole purpose for us being followers of Christ is also to reflect his light to others. We might also check our power source and make sure that every day we're plugged into God's power, because without that, we cannot shine. And thirdly, recharging light is power as well. When we grow dim, we have to find ways that we can recharge our light so that we can shine more brightly. A young boy, about 9 years of age, went with his parents to visit Europe. part of their tour were visiting the great cathedrals of the past. As they visited cathedral after cathedral, he saw the massive stained windows portraying the disciples and other saints. He was so very impressed that as he stood in the great empty hall looking through the beautiful stained windows, he was in awe. Upon the return, he was asked by a Sunday school teacher what he liked the most about the great churches of Europe. He thought for a moment and he said, "I love the sense of awesomeness and the hugeness of who God must be." His Sunday school teacher then asked about his definition of a saint. And as his mind went back to the massive, beautiful stained glass windows, he said, "A saint is a person in the light, with the light shining through. Let us be followers of Christ, that the light shines through in this week ahead."